welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune podcast featuring the Jefferson City Jays. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Trevor Hahn of the News Tribune. And before Trevor and I start to break things down this week, let's listen to a little bit of Trevor's conversation with Jays head coach Damon Wells.
We can bounce back to last week here real briefly. So obviously, it was an 18-point loss to Helias, and it really turnovers were the difference in that one. So just looking back on film, what did you notice from that game?
We competed. I think that we've steadily closed the gap, and we're knocking on the door. And like you mentioned, against a quality opponent like Helias, we can't turn the ball over four times and hope to be successful. I felt like we moved the football, and we did a good enough job of slowing them down and then stopping them. I thought the opportunity was there.
So, yeah, just kind of final question from last week. You guys threw the ball, I think it was 19 times. So just kind of what did you notice from Jacob with the extended amount of reps he saw throwing?
He's a great kid. Wonderful dialogue. He gets it. He understands what's going on. And we felt like we had some opportunities.
So, yeah, switching into the final conference game of the season for you guys this week against Battles. So just how are you guys attacking this week of preparation?
Just like you mentioned, we're attacking this week of preparation. We've had a good week of preparation so far. Battle's incredibly talented, so we're going to have our hands full, but it's another game in the CMAC, so that's what we would expect.
So, yeah, switching into their offense a little bit, they really like to spread it out. They have a quarterback that throws the ball a lot. They have a few good receivers. So just kind of what challenges does their offense present?
That they can hurt you in multiple ways.
And then defensively, they've kind of had an up-and-down season, so just kind of what jumps out from their defense on film?
They have players. They have athletes. They have big, strong kids that they absolutely have players, and they're not afraid to be aggressive and get up in your face.
All righty. Thanks, Coach.
All right. That was Jays head coach Damon Wells. And, you know, Trevor, you're looking at the final score, 24-6. Last week, losing at Helias, I think it's one of those things where obviously you would like to maybe put up a few more points on the board, but it sounds like, you know, they did some okay things on both sides of the ball. It just wasn't enough to get it done against the Crusaders.
Yeah, it was just missed opportunities is really the kind of focal point for the team headed out of that one. I feel like they turned the ball over four times. They got the ball deep into Helias territory on three separate occasions, and they were only able to score once, and that wasn't until the second half. So it was a slow start, which is not what they wanted at all. That was a major focal point headed into the game. They wanted to start fast and kind of instill that belief in the team early, and that didn't happen. They trailed by 14 at half, and then just never were able to quite get back in the game in the second half after Helias went down and scored a touchdown to start the second half. So it was a slow start, and they knew if that happened, they were in trouble, and that kind of came to fruition.
So is it a matter of just, you know, was just those missed opportunities, or was, I mean, those four turnovers, is that more good plays by the Crusaders, poor plays by the Jays? Because if you kind of eliminate maybe even half those, you're probably still in that game with a chance late.
Yeah, it's always a little bit of both on that. And it's really the point in the game where these turnovers happen. The first comes, Ryan Tadson gets a pick. Jeff City forces the first turnover of the game. They have a chance to go down and go up a score. They turn the ball over in the red zone with a interception in the end zone, and then Helias answers, goes down and scores a touchdown. Jeff City comes back, fumbles it right back. Helias goes and scores.
Okay.
So 14-0 happened pretty fast, and Jeff City could have easily taken the lead if they took care of the football. And then in the second half, it was kind of the same thing. Jeff City gets down, and they're needing to score, and then they throw a pick, and then a fumble happens right after that too. So you never want to turn the ball over, and you never want to turn the ball over on consecutive series, and they did
right.
That two separate times. So
yeah.
It's just not a formula you're going to be able to win games. And there was just opportunities throughout. Like, right at the end of the half, the first half, they're down by 14, obviously. They get it down in deep in Hawaii's territory right outside the red zone, and I think it was 3rd and 5. They take a shot to the end zone. Good play by the Hawaii secondary. It gets broken up, and then they go with a 4th and 5 Hail Mary call when they had 2 timeouts left. So that was really puzzling for me because there was still a little bit over 20 seconds left. They could have ran 3, 4, maybe even 5 plays in that time, but they decided to go for it all on that one, and did not really work out. So I'm sure they'll be kicking themselves watching that game back on film because competitive-wise, it was pretty close.
Right.
Just the scoreboard's not going to show that because Jeff City did not take advantage of its chances.
Yeah, and the 6 by far is their lowest point total of the season. I mean, throwing out the forfeit loss, but that was a contested game in which you had scored points. So, you know, that's the sort of thing where you look at it and go, 6 is obviously not what they're expecting coming into that game. So is that just a matter of, hey, we just got to take our hats off to the highest defense? Or is it just a matter of, like, say, if we clean up some of that stuff and execute a few plays here and there, then maybe we're in our more accustomed point of getting 20, 25, 20, 30 points, you know, something like that in that game.
I think the latter is going to be what they walk out of the game with and what they're going to use next year headed into the matchup is if we took care of what they wanted to do on their side of the ball and just what they can control, they're in that game and have a chance to win. But obviously you have to give some credit to Helias. Their defense played phenomenal, and the major talking point headed into the week was something's got to give. Helias had only turned the ball over 4 times the whole season. Jeff City had only turned the ball over 4 times. They doubled that.
Right.
So that was kind of something I talked to Wells about, just how much do you kind of grill that into the team, or how much do you kind of just throw it out as an outlier? Because obviously it hadn't been an issue all year, and then all of a sudden it shows up at the worst time. So it's, like I said earlier, it's always a middle ground. It's always somewhere in the middle, but you kind of have to give a lot of credit to Helias. And then if you're Jeff City, you kind of have to self-reflect and look at what you did wrong and make sure that doesn't happen again.
Speaking of being in the middle, that's probably appropriate heading into tonight's game, because you kind of got 2 teams that'll be playing tonight that are kind of in the middle of the CMAC standings at this point, because that loss drops Jeff City to 4-3 overall, 3-2 in the CMAC, playing tonight at Battle. Battle's 2-5, 2-3 in the CMAC. So it's kind of like, you know, this is kind of going to be one of those games where you go, okay, you can either end up tied with this team by the end of the night, or you can beat them and, you know, stay ahead of them in the standings, which at this point, that's what you'd like to do.
Yeah, I don't necessarily know how the tiebreakers would work out. If Cap City, Battle, and Jeff City ended up in a 3-way tie, I have no idea how that would work out. But this is essentially for 3rd place in the conference, is how you have to look at it. And it's 2 pretty evenly matched teams. Battle's numbers on the season aren't great, but they have talent over there. So I know Jeff City knows this is not going to be a walk in the park by any means.
Right. It's a Battle team that, like I say, I mean, the 2-5 record kind of speaks to that, and you look at it and go, okay, the 2 are the 2 that kind of everybody in the conference kind of expected maybe coming into the season that they would get, Hickman and Smith Cotton. It's just the rest of the games on the schedule have been complicated, let's say, for them from the standpoint of, you know, that even you go back to the season opening loss where they lose by 40 plus, you know, to where, you know, they've gotten now shut out by the 2 best teams in the conference, both Helias, and then last week Rockbridge beats them 38-0. So they've struggled with the good teams, I think, on their schedule, and it's just been, you know, they've picked up the wins against the teams maybe you thought they wouldn't, and it's kind of those 50-50 games where they haven't had much luck in those, but they've been closer. So it's been a weird season for the Spartans.
Yeah, and it's probably something you would expect with the coaching situation headed into the year with Matt Herman getting there so late, and it's kind of hard to develop that culture of what you're going to be like in close games when you don't have much time to work with the team. So I feel like that's probably to be expected, but I mean, the results of late, if you throw out the 38-0 shutout last week against Rockbridge, have been better.
Right.
They've been in most of these games, and you can kind of see that they've been progressing throughout the year and haven't necessarily hit their stride yet, but I mean, if you would have told them at the beginning of the year that they're going to be able to get a couple wins and still be in position to finish in the middle of the conference with the situation they entered the season with, I feel like they would probably take that.
So I guess if they are, you know, if they are kind of looking to kind of maybe salvage something from this kind of weird season that they've had, this is the game obviously they're pointing towards at this point. So what do the Jays have to do to make sure that doesn't happen?
I mean, if you look back to last week, I think a major focal point is going to be taking care of the football, which is given after a 4-turnover game. But limiting explosive plays, this Battle offense has pieces. DaQuan Wright at wide receiver is one of the more talented receivers in this conference. He has shown that if you let him get going, he'll have a big game. Against Capital City, he had 8 catches for 109 yards and 2 touchdowns. In Week 5, he had 11 catches for 202 yards and a touchdown. And other than that, his highest output is 57 yards. So he seems like that guy that if he gets a few early in the game, it could be a big one for him. So sure. Limiting his production early and often is going to be a major focal point for that offense, and just explosive plays in general, because Battle's going to take shots down the field.
Yeah. So for the Jays, it's been kind of a stretch where you've had three kind of big, easy to get up 4 games in a row. You've had Capital City 3 weeks ago. You had the rivalry game with Hickman. You had Helias last week. Is there any chance of a hangover, or this being kind of one of those, we may not come in going great guns from the very start because there's a little bit of a lull to this one because the last 3 weeks have been so emotional?
I mean, you definitely have to worry about that at all times when it comes to a matchup like this. But from the coaching staff standpoint, it sounds like they're pretty focused. But, I mean, if you don't come out and play at your best, this is a team that can beat you. And I think Capital City showed that in Week 2. That seemed like it was kind of going to be an easy win for them early on in the season with this coaching staff for Battle, especially after the way they looked Week 1 when they got absolutely obliterated by Park Hill South, I believe. So you had a weak team headed into that game, and they showed some resiliency and got up big on Capital City. And Capital City had to kind of storm back late in that game and get the win. So, I mean, Battle's shown that if you don't come and put your best foot forward, they can beat you.
Yeah. So we're now to the stage where it's, you know, this one will wrap up conference play. Next week wraps up the regular season. So, we're, you know, it's fast approaching the time where the end of the year is upon us. How's the overall health of the team at this point heading into, you know, the last 2 games of the regular season?
It seems the backfield's a little banged up. There's Bradarius Lewis is not going to be available for this game. And it sounds like Jaden LaViolette, who also plays the same position, is not going to be available for this game as well. So they're going to have to go a little bit deeper in the running back depth chart. We might get to see a piece we have not seen so far this year, and I can't say a name because I don't know who that's going to be.
Right.
So, yeah, that's going to be something to watch out for sure. Other than that, I believe there's an injury on the offense and defensive line. But it sounds like other than that, it's the normal bumps and bruises that you get at this time of year. But they'll be down some pieces, and that might make things a little bit more complicated.
Right. So, it's probably worth noting at this point that, you know, we're going to be talking about it probably a lot next week in terms of, you know, kind of this. But, you know, just the way the results the last couple weeks have gone, the Jays are now the number one seed in districts now. They're, you know, it's a slim margin. You know, they'll get some bonus points for playing up tonight against a Class 5 Battle. But, you know, it's kind of one of those things where you don't want to look too far ahead. But it's kind of like, okay, you know, this is another, if you needed even more incentive, you kind of want to win out just so that, yes, the math is probably going to help you this week, and then who knows about next week. But you do want to make sure that, hey, let's just kind of take care of business by getting wins, because that's going to help keep us in the position that we're at right now.
Yeah, from a district standpoint, this is an incredibly important game. If Jeff City is able to win this game and win this game by more than 13 or more points, that really puts them in a great position headed into the final week of the regular season to have that one seed. And that's really important in this 7-team district, because only one team gets a bye.
Right.
It looks like the 2 seed's probably going to get Fulton. So, that, I mean, that would be a likely win for whoever plays them. But you definitely want to get that bye just from a health standpoint. That gets you an extra week to get healthy, and then you get home field advantage, which something they have not had in the Damon Wells era for these district championship games that they've lost. They've been on the road at Hannibal both those times. So being able to get home field advantage and just have that one seat and make a Pleasant Hill team drive 2 hours to come here, which is the likely matchup that everybody's looking out for, instead of having to drive 2 hours to Kansas City, would be big.
Yeah. All right, I guess I'll just ask you straight up, who wins this one tonight?
Oh, I definitely forgot my score prediction for the paper this week. That's a problem. So,
it's always a problem for you.
Yeah, that, I mean, I have Jeff City winning. I know that. I'm going to predict Battle to score some points. I think they'll get 2 or 3 touchdowns. So we'll go 41-20, Jeff City.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Trevor Hahn, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Trevor Hahn on Twitter at TrevHahn3. That's TrevHahn3. Thanks for listening.